Welcome back into the Lacrosse Tribune UW Lacrosse Football Podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew, your beat reporter here at the Tribune for college sports, especially UWL football here in the fall, and your host of this podcast. I'm recording this Saturday night after the game. The deadline's done here at the Tribune. Paper's already getting printed, getting out. So just kind of had some time to read over and listen to the quotes that I got after the game and start thinking about this dominant victory for UWL against Stevens Point. It was 63-27. I mean, it was 56-6 at one point. UWL kind of emptied the bench on defense and offense. A lot of clean jerseys got in there in the second half, and it was interesting to see some of those younger guys finally get on the college field and just kind of get their feet wet in a game that they had in hand already. But the win moves lacrosse to 4-2 overall, and then 2-1 in the WIAC. It is the most points ever scored by a UWL football team against Stevens Point. They've been playing since back in the 40s. I scrolled through every one of the years UWL has been playing against Stevens Point, and 63 is the most, just edging out that 1979 62-7 win lacrosse put up. I'm sure everyone that listens to podcasts here remembers. I'm kidding. Anyways, a great showing from lacrosse, and this is kind of what I was alluding to. You heard it in the podcast on Wednesday and in the paper this morning with my preview story. I felt this is the kind of game lacrosse needed. Stevens Point just does not have a very good football team right now. They're beat up in a lot of key spots, and that's a big part of it. But they're two above average players on offense. They're both wide receivers. There's only so much you can do when your quarterback's not very good, your offensive line's not very good. You can have great receivers, but if you can't get the ball to them, they're pretty much neutralized. And then defensively, just UWL picked them apart, especially all this pressure that Point brings, and it's been their MO, but they had no answer for the offense of UWL tonight. We'll get into all of that, just quick show rundown here. I'll talk about kind of all three phases. In one of these, Saturday was one of those games where UWL dominated all three phases of the game and really just kind of put their mark on it from the start. There was, I would say, two plays that the game was in question of who was winning, just because lacrosse starts the game, they receive the opening kickoff and get backed up by a block in the back penalty and start their own seven. So it's like, oh, geez, okay, that's not a great start. It's a tough field position for the offense. And then a lot of things kind of just snowballed pretty much from there. Like I said, so we'll get into all three phases of the game where UWL really just controlled it. And we'll kind of quickly get into why this is so big, because you're looking at next Saturday, a huge road trip over at Oshkosh, longest conference trip of the year, second overall. The Illinois Wesleyan trip's just a little bit longer, but big trip over to Oshkosh, a nationally ranked team who really handled business today against Platteville. I think Oshkosh was ranked in the teens coming in today. They'll probably still be in that same range, but a great test for UWL, and we'll see if the big lopsided score gets lacrosse ranked on Sunday. I didn't see enough of the top 25 to see if anybody lost that shouldn't have. That would help get UWL in there, but there's a chance. I think this Oshkosh lacrosse game could be a ranked versus ranked matchup when we get to the 20th. But we'll get to that later. So let's just start with the offense. Obviously, you put up 63 points. There's a lot to talk about. A lot of good things went the right way for lacrosse tonight. A couple of quick things, and what I thought was the biggest element to the big blowout score was UWL controlled the line of scrimmage, not only in the run game, which they did that, and we'll get into that, but they picked up the blitz of Stevens Point every time they brought it. I think Ben Schramsky probably was rushed or hurried by blitzes two or three times, and that's off of in the teens to the 20 times that Stevens Point tried to send overload blitzes. And overload blitz is a sense of, we're going to send more guys than you have in the formation that can block. So at least one person's getting free. A lot of times when you do that, you're playing cover zero behind it or completely straight man-to-man. There's no safety if there's nobody else over the top. It's all just one-on-one. And a couple of times when Stevens Point did that, lacrosse caught him in it, got big plays off it in the passing game. just a really great performance by the offensive line picking those things up. And you've listened to me on this podcast, you've read my stories, you know I've been a little bit critical of this offensive line because I just have not been performing very well. Today was their, I think, their best day of the year. Obviously, the competition was a little bit easier than the Whitewaters or the Dickinson States, but still, just a WIAC team coming into your house. Lacrosse's offensive line took care of business, and really just anything lacrosse wanted to do offensively, they could do. In the passing game, mentioned picking up the blitz, but the running game, they ran for 214 yards, which is a season high. And what I loved what they did today was they just kind of they took out some of the things that I think were a little more delay elements or draw or some things that took a little bit longer to develop in the backfield, and they just let their offensive line, you know, go forward, run power, leads, simple concepts that they've been doing since they've been playing offensive line, you know, when they started in middle school or high school or whatever it was, things that they know how to do, and they had did it with great results today. Trenton Smith, one of the reserve running backs that's now kind of playing a hybrid tight end, fullback, kind of H-back role, had a great game in that fullback spot where he's lined up next to Ben Schramsky in the pistol, and then he's kicking out defensive ends, or he's leading the running back up through the hole like a traditional fullback. Just a great game out of him in the sense of creating huge lanes because the offensive line was doing their job with the double teams and getting defensive linemen off the ball, but they would intentionally leave one person there for Trenton Smith to take care of, and he was really doing a good job getting inside leverage on guys, moving them out of the way. And when you're doing that and running these zone concepts, they can create these huge lanes. And we saw Austin Mankoski, Jalen Clark, Brody Gatz at the end of the game when the reserves were in there, all have some big runs off of those. And UBL just controlled the line all day in the running game. And Ben Schramsky, senior quarterback, we talk about him quite a bit, one of the leaders of this team, team captain. I think today was the most comfortable he's looked in the pocket since maybe the Illinois Wesleyan game because, like I mentioned, the way that UWL picked up the blitz. But not only that, he also just got the ball out of his hand so fast that it just neutralized blitzes. The guys were either lining up near the line or about 2 or 3 yards off of it that were going to come. He saw it. He recognized everything Point was going to do. I think that's one thing that just we don't see because it's so behind the scenes, but Schramsky is one of those guys that's always in film, always watching stuff. I talk to the coaches all the time about, you know, he's a guy that's going to watch 3, 4, 5 hours of film on top of everything that they do as a team. He's going to watch even more individually. He recognized everything that Stevens Point was going to do. Anytime they brought pressure, he was getting the ball out fast. And that was really the big difference in the, early in the first quarter. The quick passes from UWL, guys like Dominic Lebelarte on the outsides, Cole Speaker, Devonta Amos, they're turning around on these timing routes, comeback routes, stuff like that. Ball's already halfway there, just how it should be. Bang, they catch it, get some extra yards, and the offense keeps rolling from there. Schramsky ended up with 283 yards, mostly in the first half. I think he was over 200 in the first half. At 5 total touchdowns, 4 passing, 1 rushing. His 5th rushing touchdown of the year. Probably the best game I think he's played this season, outside of maybe the Illinois Wesleyan game. But we talked about this offense finding some consistency and kind of evening out those highs and lows that they had, and they definitely did that. Really kind of just blew the doors off of Stevens Point, which they should do with the talent they have. Switching over to the defense, a dominant performance by this defense, and it reminded me a lot of that Whitewater game where Whitewater could not really move the ball on UWL until late or in the fourth quarter, late in the third quarter when they were just fatigued and the talent Whitewater had finally broke through. But tonight, UWL's defense did so well getting off the field on third down. Stevens Point's offense started 0-for-6 on third down, all 3 and outs. Just every possession, UWL was getting the ball back very quickly for the offense. And like I mentioned, how well they were rolling, it just snowballed so fast on Stevens Point. There was really no stopping it. We've seen, like I'm mentioning, but we've seen flashes of this defense being as good as it was tonight. It just, I think tonight it was the most sustained effort from this defense. You know, when I mentioned that the score is 56-6 at one point in the second half, that first 6 for Stevens Point came on a kick return. So it wasn't even a defensive touchdown. The starting defense, I don't believe, was in there when Point got their first touchdown. So just a really great showing for that number one defense. And another good game pressure-wise. I think they ended up with 5 sacks. And I talked with Mike Schmidt, the head coach, about the interior defensive line because, you know, you remember names like Ryan Flathers, who had the big strip sack against Stout, or Zach Zillmer, who's had just a phenomenal year on the outside for UWL. But you remember those guys because of the sacks and the guys that are getting the pressure on the quarterback. But those inside guys, you know, Josiah Gerlitz, Zach Abitz, guys in that realm, there's about 5 or 6 of them that are able to rotate in with different packages and to keep guys fresh on the field. And they're just doing the job right now for UWL. They're maintaining their gap integrity in the run. They're getting after the passer, kind of pushing the pocket onto them. And that's what I think more against Doubt than against Stevens Point. But the way that they're able to get pressure up the middle, it forces a quarterback to pick a side. And it's like, if you're going to run kind of blindly toward Flathers or Zach Zillmer, you're going to count the snaps until you're going to get sacked. So just a great job of this interior defensive line. And I don't think Stevens Point's game plan clearly was, especially when things started going all across his way and the lead just kept growing and growing, they were just going to try to chuck it up and see what happened on the outside. Like I mentioned, the receivers are their best part of the offense, but the defense overall just did never really let them establish any flow. I think their longest rush ended up being like 11 yards, and it came maybe even against the twos. Just they never got anything on the ground. And I really think that with the secondary having to start some different guys, Noah Schober for Peter Kissling, and then a late developing thing throughout the week that Colton Neiman, senior quarterback, or cornerback, excuse me, was injured, wasn't able to play. They put Nathan Clark in there, a shorter guy, a tough physical matchup with some of the receivers that Stevens Point had, but he held his own, did enough, and really worked his technique against some of these double moves and some of the fade routes at the top of them, where just made it hard for a receiver to get open between him and the sideline. And then with the quarterback play Stevens Point was getting, there was just really no shot on a lot of these. Next hero, a freshman for them, started over Matt Ermansky, who I said Wednesday was going to be their starter. I'm just dumb and apparently can't read a two-deep roster that was sent to me. But there must be something going on at Stevens Point in the sense that if Max Hero can play like that for a whole game and never get pulled out, they must just be kind of saying, hey, we're not winning the game anyway, just get your reps as a freshman. Because he was in over his head, and UWL wasn't going to give him any lifelines or cheap first downs or anything to let him get momentum. Stevens Point's points, which is annoying to say, but they scored 27 points, 21 of them, I think, were in the fourth quarter when the game was already decided, and against second-team unit guys, like I said. But just a really great showing by the defense. And you want to talk about momentum for both sides of the ball. I think this is the first game that, I guess, since Luther, that both sides of the ball come off the field feeling good about themselves. You know, Illinois Wesleyan, the offense feels good because they led the game-winning drive, but the defense is kind of upset that they let a team get back in the game. Dickinson State, nobody feels good. Whitewater, maybe the defense a little bit because, like I mentioned, they were in the game for a while, but just not a great showing. And then Stout, kind of the same thing, where it felt great to get that walk-off win, but at the same time, knowing that you had a big lead and then you let a team back in the game. So I think this time against Stevens Point was the first time in a while that the Eagles could all walk off the field and have a good feeling about the way they played and the way they just controlled the game from start to finish. And getting the special teams a little bit, had a touchdown on a blocked punt. If you remember it from the Luther game, it was the exact same combination where Elijah McGeehan, the senior linebacker, he ended up blocking the punt, and then Cole Speaker, junior receiver, who has just continued to be the top target for the offense, another 103 yards today. He recovers it about the 13-yard line, takes it back into the end zone. Anytime you score on special teams, I think Mike Schmidt showed me some of these numbers. If you score on special teams, it gives you, I think, somewhere between the 10% to 15% range of increasing your win probability. Now, at the time UWL did it, I think they were already up 28-0. So you get to 35 and you're on your way anyway. But just another example of just UWL in all three phases controlling things. But one of the elements that is a little bit harder to miss is, or a little bit hard to miss at times, is the way that Jake Simunchak in the punt return game really flipped this game early. So URBL gets the ball to start, like I mentioned. They get to about midfield, and they end up punting. Stevens Point goes three and out. They punt near midfield again. Jake Simunchak catches the ball at about the 20-yard line, somewhere in that range, and just cuts up the right sideline, gets a huge block from Eli McGeehan, gains 25 yards, sets up the offense at the plus 45, and then bang, they're rolling, get a touchdown quickly. Same type of thing happens the next time. A bouncing punt, he picks the ball up, gets 20 yards on the return, gives the offense the ball near midfield, bang, 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 they score again. Just one of those situations where, like, they call them hidden yards in the box score, where it's not accredited to that first, you know, passing, rushing, receiving that you see right at the top of the box score. But you scroll down, you see Jake Simunchak, three punt returns for almost 90 yards in the first quarter. And then what it really did was it forced Stevens Point's punter to say, well, I'm not kicking you anymore because you're getting all these great returns. And he had some disasters after that. His directional kicks, trying to get the ball toward the sideline, were just terrible. He set his defense up to fail a bunch of times, that punter did. It's a rough day for him. Kicking three of them, barely past the first down markers. Just a really rough day for their special teams unit. But that comes from having great punt returns and forcing a team to try to do things that they're not good at to keep the ball out of your hands. So a great shot by Jake Simunchak, and the special teams guys. I'm calling it right now. In the last four games of the season, somewhere in there, some return is getting taken back to the house. I know I've talked to Jake a few times at practice. He's a confident guy, and he really wants one. And I just feel like the way they're blocking, the way they're scheming things up in the punt game, that one of these is going to get taken back. So keep your eye on that as we go through the rest of the season. But I think that is going to do it here for the UWL Football Podcast for the wrap-up show for Sunday here. I just want to reiterate, this is one of those wins that the cliche term being like a statement win, or, you know, really more than one win. I don't know how much you buy into that type of stuff, but this was a game that UWL just took care of business and finally looked like the complete team, the talented team, and the well-coached team that it is. It finally put all the pieces together and really just took care of what they needed to do. And yes, we can talk about how bad Max Hero was for Stevens Point at quarterback and just the struggles that offense and defense has had. But when an offense and defense is struggling like they were, you've got to just kind of put your foot on their throat and end the game right in that first half. And UWL did that. Just a really good showing and some nice momentum heading into Oshkosh, who beat Platteville today 31-10. Great defense, offense that's struggling. I know they put up 31 points, but I think one of those was a fumble return, and a couple of those possessions were set up with turnovers. So I think this week, more than ever, UWL's focus on offense has got to be protecting the ball. They're pretty good at it overall. I think Ben Shramsky has four interceptions at this point in the season. But a couple of those were thrown with the game already out of hand. So that's a little bit misleading. But the big thing is going to be just not giving Oshkosh's offense any easy chances, because they've proven throughout this year that against a good defense, and I do believe UWL is forming into a good defense, that if you have a good defense, Oshkosh has a real tough time driving against those. So that's going to be my one key that I'll leave you with as we get ready for the Oshkosh game next week. Looking at this week's coverage, I'll have some type of feature probably on Trent Smith, playing that fullback hybrid role. Just something a little bit different for this offense and kind of gives them a new dimension and something that defenses have to keep in the back of their mind. And then, obviously, game preview later in the week and everything else like that. But just continue to follow our coverage here on thecrosstribune.com. Like, subscribe, share the podcast, all those good things. I do really appreciate when I'm walking into the game tonight and I get stopped by a couple of parents saying nice things about articles and podcasts and all that stuff. So thank you very much for that. Appreciate your listening and your readership and all that. We will be back next or sometime midweek with a podcast talking about Oshkosh and looking at kind of the road ahead. And it's playoff time for UWL, as it has been since the Whitewater loss, and they finally played like it tonight. So hopefully that can continue at Oshkosh next week. But for myself, Colton Bartholomew, and the podcast, we will be back later in the week. Thank you very much for listening.